1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. President Trump today urged pregnant women not to take Tylenol.
I want to say it like it is. Don't take Tylenol. Don't take it. If you just can't, I mean, it's fight like hell not to take it.
Trump said there is a link between acetaminophen and autism.
Since 2000, autism rates have surged by much more than 400%. Instead of attacking those who ask questions, everyone should be grateful for those who are trying to get the answers to this complex situation.
Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Autism is a complex disorder with multifactorial etiology. We are continuing to investigate a multiplicity of potential causes with no areas of taboo.
The director of the National Institutes of Health said his agency has launched an initiative to turbocharge autism research. CBS News Special Report, I'm Cammy McCormick.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. A major shift in higher education is coming to Marathon County. UW-Stevens Point at Wausau and North Central Technical College announced a new aspect of their partnership earlier this month. The UW-Stevens Point campus at Wausau will be relocated to the North Central Technical College campus. Leaders from both campuses spoke at last week's Marathon County Board meeting. Pratima Gandhi is interim chancellor of UWSP at Wausau. She says the transition is an opportunity to serve students and the community in a not-so-typical way.
This is not a merger, nor is one institution absorbing another. We expect both institutions to grow and become stronger.
The two institutions will combine some services like student clubs and intramural sports. Student services like academic advising will remain separate. NCTC President Jeannie Warden says the transition stems from a pre-existing relationship between the institutions.
We have opportunities for curriculum development and making sure our programs are complementary and not duplicative.
The transition is expected to be complete by the fall of 2026. The fall agricultural tourism season is underway, and farmers are asking lawmakers to consider two tourism-related measures next month. Terry Barr has more.
Supporters call these proposals important to survive the tough times. One allows farmers to host up to three paying campers without a license. The other would exempt working farms from Act 73, which reclassifies wedding barns as public spaces and limits events to six each year. If passed, farmers say both measures could provide a small but meaningful extra stream of revenue.
I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
The Brewers do it again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers are divisional champs of the NL Central. Although they lost yesterday 5-1 to the Cards, the Reds swept the Cubs, so Milwaukee, divisional champs for a third year in a row. Manager Pat Murphy.
Well, just this team finds a way. They're resilient, and they're guys that have a special it factor.
NFL, the Packers shocked by the Browns, losing 13-10 on a walk-off field goal by Cleveland. Defensive end Micah Parsons.
Man, it's like a movie sometimes, how football works. I just think towards the end of the game, they play better than us, and we got to play all four quarters of football.
College football, the Badgers losing at home to Maryland Saturday, 27-10, and now headed into the bye.
We've got a challenge. I felt like the culture of this team and the things that we did in the offseason and in fall camp was something that was a lot stronger than what we have had. We're going to find out how strong it is. That's where we're going to have to go because this thing doesn't get any easier.
That's head coach Luke Fickell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Matinee on Air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, otherwise partly cloudy tonight. A low in the upper 50s with patchy fog. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow morning, some sun in the afternoon. A high in the upper 60s. Staying dry through the week as temperatures stay in the 70s. It's 69 degrees right now.
Matt Nair on Air.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here.
I also don't want to, you know, sit and doom scroll before I go to sleep at night because that's not good for my brain. It doesn't help my sleep patterns. Right. And
my brother-in-law, you went to medical school with him. He said at 2 hours, turn off all screens. At 1 hour, get yourself ready for bed. And he goes, and Greg, bed is for two things. That's it.
What are they?
Moving on.
Sleeping in
listen
chest.
To you laugh.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Kira Saban, positive psychology midlife coach.
People cannot take away our joy. When I spend time with people I love, putting my time and energy in things that I love that I think are important, not much has really changed. If you are worried about LGBTQIA plus rights, go volunteer at that organization.
You know you're moving the cause forward, and that's great for our mental health.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, unfortunately, more PFAS are showing up in Wisconsin's duck population. David Drake will be here to break that down and what that means. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matinair on Air.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who hates shaking hands, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. I don't hate it that much. Sometimes I like to do it. Just depends on the person. Hey, we got a great show. Folks, I am live from Madison tonight. It is so great to be in our state's capital tonight, overlooking State Street. A beautiful night. Gorgeous. Conrad, yesterday, supposedly, we switched into fall. It is a beautiful night here, and I can only hope it is beautiful in Green Bay as well.
Well, it was downpouring for a while today, you know, morning, but after that cleared up, yeah, it was nice and warm and toasty, you know? Didn't feel like fall.
Yeah. It's like 80 when I got here. Aaron Sommers is here tonight, folks, too. Aaron, how are you?
Doing well. You know, like you said, beautiful. Excuse me. Like you said, beautiful day here in Madison, even though I have spent the majority of it inside.
You are always a champ. I love when you're here. You always help me get set up here because I'm not on my home turf. But more and more, it feels like my home turf, and it's so effortless because you're always here. So big-time shout-out. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and we're always happy to have you.
Is that true?
For me, I guess I can't speak for the rest of the staff.
Because I've heard rumblings. I don't want to cast aspersions or speak for others, but it's nice to know I'm kidding. Everyone's great here. It's always fun to come to Madison and do Nightlight. And Conrad, we have a special, we've got some window love tonight
from
our Nightlight Studio South. I'll just tease that. It will appear on Facebook probably in the next hour, but I couldn't find a 19-foot tall person, so I had to kind of look down at the street, but we got it taken care of, so. Conrad Krieger working the board tonight, folks. Aaron Zahmer sitting in for a few minutes, helping us get started here. And it is great to have you here. We've got a great question. I've got great guests. Always fun to tap into the Madison area in terms of guests. I've got two live in-studio guests. Our pal Eric Jellin will be here. He is the front man for The Mascot Theory. We featured their music before. We've had Eric on the show before. But I will say this. Since Eric was on the show last November, he has had major drama unfold in his life, and he has turned it into an amazing new record, and we are going to share some of the music from his newest effort, he and the Mascot Theory's newest effort tonight. When he drops by here at 6:35, he'll be in studio, as he was during his last appearance. And then my pal Jim Healy, who is one of the programmers at UW Cinematheque, and he is also a top dog at the Wisconsin Film Festival and a movie fanatic. I will say this. You guys, Conrad, how many movies would you say you watch in a given year if you had to guess?
A lot. I don't think I could give a certain number.
If you had, like, ballpark.
I'd say around 250, maybe.
250 movies?
Yeah, I think I...
That's pretty good.
I mean, like, because when I'm bored at home, I was like, yeah, well, why not just throw on something and I just toss on a movie, you know?
You don't have to listen. That sounds great to me. Aaron, what about you? Mr. Zahmer.
I think that's a number I would love to shoot for.
250?
But I think I'm more at like 100 maybe.
Okay. That's a movie every 3 days or so.
Yeah, yeah. One of my roommates is big into movies as well. So whenever it's just us around, we'll watch a movie usually. But the other one falls asleep every time. Or just about every time. And so he's more into, I don't know, playing games or things like that. And so I don't get to watch as many movies as I would like, but.
All right. Well, you both, that's a good number for both of you guys. I couldn't even tell you. I would say probably I'm closer to Conrad, somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 to 300. But some of those are movies I've seen. They're like comfort movies I'll put on. New movies, I'm probably at 100 maybe, I'm guessing. The reason I ask is because my second guest tonight, Jim Healy, who will be here in studio at 7:20, a couple years ago posted on Facebook that he watched 763 movies in 1 year.
Wow.
I mean, now part of it, that's his job for the Wisconsin Film Festival and programming Cinematheque, but that was an incredible number. If you just average them, double that, that's like 1,500 hours a year of movie watching or probably more. So... we're going to talk a little bit about Robert Redford, our favorite Robert Redford movies, and where we rank him as an actor, and then maybe a little Peter Bogdanovich talk. And Jim's going to tell us what's coming up at UW Cinematheque, folks. If you don't take advantage of this great program and this great theater right on the UW campus, you absolutely should go to the calendar and find out what's playing. It's all free to the public, so it's good stuff. So two great guests. We got a fun question coming up, and I'm going to tell you all about our new text to win contest coming up in just a few minutes, and I will give you the keyword after the break in the second segment. So you got that to look forward to, folks, and big prizes this time too. It's going to be a lot of fun. Guys, I got some advice for you. I'm older than both of you, but I'm young at heart and incredibly immature. I went to Stevens Point this weekend and we went out to breakfast, my wife and my daughter and I. It was a chain place, a place I've had, you know. It's fine. It's a chain supposed to be moderately priced. I cannot believe how expensive. And I'll just say, I'll do like a hot wire thing and say roughly what the restaurant was. It's in the Perkins, Denny's. What else do you have there?
IHOP.
IHOP family. It's one of those.
Okay.
Okay. So French toast with eggs and bacon was $17.
That must be some good French toast.
It was fine French toast, but it was not worth... Okay, our bill was like $70. So here's my advice to you. And the guy that sat us, it was like he purposely let his hair get really greasy, and then he kind of did like a comb-over type thing. Ooh. Obviously, this guy had put some thought into it. But it was greasy, and it was just like really not appetizing. So, and then I go into the bathroom, and... the paper towel dispenser, like you wash your hands and like 4 inches of a paper towel comes out. Like who can work with that? That's not even, you got to do it like 10 times to get enough toweling to wipe your hands off and then use the rest of it to open the door. Here's where I'm going with this. Spend the extra money. Go to a higher class restaurant. Spend the extra, what is it, $20 for cleanliness and good service.
Well, especially because if a place like that's selling French toast for $17+,
insane.
You're not paying much more anyway.
No, that's my point. Everything is so expensive now. Just go top tier and spend the extra money. I don't go out to breakfast a lot. It's well worth it to spend $20. Conrad, you're laughing. What am I being curmudgeon-y?
You know, no, I totally agree. French toast should not be that pricey because it's not that hard to make.
Right.
It's just bread and egg. It's just bread and egg.
Exactly.
It's not hard.
So, and here's the weird thing. I walked in. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say eggs are getting up there in price, but still, it shouldn't be $17.
No, and it's like one egg. It's part of a combo. It's not like I'm getting. So I walk into this hotel, too, to check in, and I could not get a hold of them. So all morning, I'm calling to make sure or to see if I can get an early check-in by like an hour. Nobody's answering. And I'm like, is this hotel still in business? Like, it's a major chain. I can't get a hold of anybody. While I'm driving, I chat with hotels.com. I hope I can say that. In the chat, I'm like, can you guys just confirm to me that this hotel is still open? The virtual chat person keeps coming back and say, our advice would be to call the hotel. Okay, well, everything that started this conversation was me saying, I can't get a hold of anybody at the hotel. Can you help? This is how I booked the hotel. There were no help whatsoever. I got there. Luckily, they were open. I walk in. No one's in the lobby. This is what you get for 90 bucks a night. This is me trying to save a few bucks. And there's this voice like from the heavens that says, hello. And I'm looking around. I have no idea who's talking to me. Hello, sir. I'm like, hi. Finally, this woman comes out. I was standing in front of a virtual check-in. Have you ever seen those?
No.
I've never seen those. This guy was in Madison, and he was going to check me in over the video. And I'm like, it was such a surreal experience, the whole thing.
I guess what we're learning is when you try to save money, there is still another cost to be paid.
You're saving money, but you're not saving frustration or whatever. Now, what I saved on the hotel, I spent on breakfast, whatever. It's just, I'm not a cheap guy by any stretch. I'll go the extra mile, but I was expecting at a chain to get a decent meal and a hotel stay too. And the hotel stay ended up being fine. But we've got bigger fish to fry, guys. Tom Holland suffered a concussion shooting Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man. He's okay. Rest assured. But
I was worried.
I know you were, Conrad, because you watch 250 movies a year.
I was shaking in my boots, you know.
Hey, we are running out of time here in this first segment. I want to tell you, folks, I'm going to tell you all about our Text to Win contest. It's coming up, and then I will give you the keyword after a short break. But first, we have to do our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Oh, it's National Diary Day. You know you all keep a diary. I don't care what year it is. What is the most embarrassing thing someone could read in your diary? I'm asking for a little forthrightness here. I'm asking you to be an open book, pun intended. Let me know what you would be embarrassed by if somebody read your diary. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let me know, or you can text us on the app. Or if you are watching on the stream, drop us a stream comment and let us know what you would be embarrassed by if someone read in your diary. All right, I know... I was on the fence about this question because I know a lot of people. I'm hoping people just make the leap and tell me what they might be embarrassed about if they kept a diary, because I don't think too many people keep a diary anymore. You guys keep a diary?
I don't.
I do not. Yeah, me either. All right, great question, Pete. Well, we'll see where we get. I know. What about Diary of a Wimpy Kid?
Yeah, I mean, everyone read that diary, so.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'll go first. I'll start us off. I would probably just say sexual stuff.
But you got something to be ashamed of, though?
Well, yeah, if I'm insecure about something, or, you know, if I had to apologize to a girl or something, I'm not even sure. Actually, I might be too embarrassed to even share that with my diary.
I think in my diary, there won't be anything like that. So not a whole lot to share.
So you're saying you wish you had more to share to be embarrassed about.
Potentially. If you had to know that the lack of things to be embarrassed about, you'd be shocked at how much time I'm just at home alone.
Okay. Spend another night home alone, washing my hair, making a frozen dinner. What about you, Con? Anything?
You know, I don't have a diary now. I used to have a diary of cheat codes for video games.
Nice.
That's kind of embarrassing. You're breaking the law.
I guess so. So maybe that's embarrassing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, and I'm opening up here. I'm an open book here. I'm not saying like, I mean, I think any time in your life you can find something to apologize to your partner for when it comes to intimacy. You put your knee on their hair accidentally. I don't know where I'm going with this. Conrad, why did you let me pick this question tonight?
Yeah, you seem like you really wanted to. So,
did I really? Well, it is National Diary Day. I mean, what am I supposed to do with that? All right, we're coming back, folks. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about our new Text to Win contest here at Civic Media, and I'm going to give you the keyword, and it's a fantastic contest. You're not going to want to miss it. Be part of the fun. Be part of Nightlight. Text us and let us know what's up. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight live from Madison on the Civic Media Radio Network.
By me. Ooh, baby. All the time.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Why throw your hat in the ring to become governor, especially in times like this?
Folks are tired of politicians who focus on cultural and partisan issues versus delivering real results that's going to change lives. And that's what we've done in Milwaukee County. And so my calling is being able to be there for people at my best when people are dealing with their worst times. And as elected officials, as community leaders, that's what we should be focused on.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Nightlight, I am Pete Schwab. It is great to have you with me tonight. I am coming to you live from Madison Civic Media headquarters tonight. I have some PBS work to do here in Madison, and it is always a blast to come down and see friends at PBS as well as here at Civic Media. Always fun time to be in Madison. I made a mistake, Conrad. I'm not giving the keyword until the 7 o'clock hour.
Yep, next hour.
So, and I am a rule follower. I am not going to break from that. So I'm going to wait till the 7 o'clock hour, folks. I hope you can hang in there, too, because I will give you all the contest details and the keyword in hour number two. So Eric Gelland is here, the front man for Mascot Theory. He will be along shortly. He is in the bullpen, Conrad, as they say, warming up. I have to tell you, I was thinking about you yesterday, Conrad. I know tons of Packer fans. But since I've been doing this show, you are front and center as a Packer fan in my life.
Yeah.
And the first thing I thought, like I was listening on the radio driving home yesterday, and I'm like, well, they got this wrapped up. And oh my God, I turned off the radio in the car and I just put some music on. And then when I got home, it was like down to the wire. And then I thought, well, I turned it off again. I said, oh, the Packers are going to make this kick. What the heck was going through your mind?
Well, first of all, it's hard to win with all those penalties that we had. It's okay. The first time since 2010 that we had that many. 2010 since we had that many penalties. It was like 18 or something. So it's hard to win like that. But I gotta say, Tucker Kraft, phenomenal player. Huge mistake at the end of the game. Missed that block. The guy who blocked the punt or the field goal. Tucker missed that block.
Oh, okay.
So,
highlights.
I guess it's not just on him though. It was the whole team. It was Matt LaFleur. It was, you know, our offensive line. We had two injuries out of the gate pretty much. So, it's just a rough game. We'll bounce back.
Here's what I can't wrap my head around with the NFL. you got 17 games. That's why I love it. All of them are important.
Yeah.
But it's amazing to me how in 1 week, and listen, I've been lamenting my Bears forever, and they had a great game yesterday. They choked their first game. They got blown out last week. I don't know what to make of that team because they looked great yesterday, but this was like a reversal. Now I feel like every Packer fan, like, and I'm looking at you how all my Packer fan friends have looked at me. It's just crazy. But like, all of a sudden you're feeling great. And I thought, oh my God, this is the Packers league right now with how they're playing and Love and all that. And a couple mistakes. And all of a sudden you start second guessing, just like with the Bears. They're 1-2 now. They play the Raiders. Oh, 2-2 going into the bye. Maybe they're still like, it's like a constant carrot and stick thing. It's horrible.
You know, it's any given Sunday, you know,
right.
it's the NFL. There's not a team that's they could have a bad record, but they're still a football team in the NFL. So
anything can happen.
Yep.
So who do you guys have this week?
Well, we go to the Cowboys.
Oh, that's right. I knew that.
Well, and huge CeeDee Lamb will not be playing.
Will not be playing. He only played like seven plays or something like that yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for the Bears fans, I gotta say, it must have been nice to stick it to Matt Eberflus like that.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's just like when you get a win against a team that, you know, it was probably close to a toss up, but we have like four guys out on defense. Two of them are serious playmakers. So when CeeDee Lamb went down, I didn't feel that bad for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I felt bad for him. All right. We've got a great show tonight, folks. Eric Jelen is here from Mascot Theory. He has shared with me new music from their new album called Cosmic Hit and Run. It's a very personal album. We'll talk to Eric about that at 6:35. He's been on the show before, and he's always fun to talk to. And a great band. If you haven't heard the Mascot Theory, Google it, go to Spotify, whatever. But definitely don't miss this interview because Eric is a great interview as well. And then my pal Jim Healy will be here at 7:20. We'll be talking movies, famous directors, and all kinds of stuff with my movie buff friend Jim Healy. Our question of the night, and I've rarely bailed on a question, and I'm not bailing, but I just don't know, just because diaries are so obscure, I don't know what kind. But you know what, folks, if you don't have a diary, just tell me what you'd be embarrassed to put in there, or what you'd be embarrassed if someone read your diary. Something vulnerable, like what would you not want them to know about you, or what you're writing in your diary? Some of our social media answers. Chad Fran. Chad. Yeah. He says that I am an older man who doesn't know how to express his emotions, for example, anger. So instead of using a proven method of emotional relief, he would rather make fun of the thought of writing in a diary. And then he wrote mic drop. I don't think you can say what you wrote is a mic drop. I think that's for other people to determine if what you said is worthy of a mic drop. Exactly. Daniel Wheeler, our pal Danny Wheels, says, "Dear Diary, it was a late dinner with friends in Boston. Walking back to the subway, the food poisoning hit me. I wish I could say it was nausea, but it wasn't. No bathroom, no choice. Those bushes were the real victim."
Oh, well.
I'm just going to assume that's a true story, because who would? And I appreciate the forthrightness of Danny Wheels, our pal. My pal Mike Desitel says that I have a diary. Okay. There's obviously a couple guys here not comfortable with their masculinity. You have to rip on diaries. Journaling is healthy, folks. Don't you remember when Brandon Marshall used to do it on the sidelines during NFL games? There's nothing wrong with keeping a journal. So be part of the fun. Text us what you would be embarrassed to have somebody read from your diary. When we come back, it's our first guest of the week. Eric Jelen will be here. Jim Healy's coming by later. Texas folks, be part of the show. I'm live from Madison tonight. It's great to be here. It's great to have you here with me, so to speak. Conrad working the board. All is right here in America. It's Peach Wabbit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Perfect kiss, somewhere out in the dark.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. Six products made by members of the Greater Wausau Chamber of Commerce have been nominated in the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce's Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin contest. According to a press release, these products are among the more than 100 nominees from around the state. The nominated products include a removable adhesive vinyl wallpaper, a module floating dock, work boots, and more. Voting in the competition opens today in a bracket-style tournament called Manufacturing Madness. The public is invited to vote once per day during each round of the competition at madeinwis.com. Congressman Tom Tiffany could be poised to announce a run for governor this week. He'll be hosting an event this Wednesday, which was teased by the Wisconsin College Republicans as a, quote, very special event in Wausau, unquote. Tiffany previously said he planned to make a decision on running before the end of September, reports the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Tiffany's entrance would expand the GOP field to three, including Whitefish Bay Manufacturing CEO Bill Berrien and Washington County Executive Josh Showman. Andy Mansky has also filed paperwork. With hunting seasons opening across the state, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters to properly identify their target before shooting. According to a press release, elk are in their breeding season and are more likely to venture beyond the boundaries of the state's two elk ranges during this time of year. Hunters should remember that adult elk are about a foot and a half larger than deer and have large, sweeping antlers. Hunters can also report elk sightings outside their management zones on the DNR's website. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News. You can find more news anytime at WXCO.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Legendary director Martin Scorsese is 82 years old, but showing no signs of slowing down. Variety reports that the Oscar winner will direct an adaptation of What Happens at Night, a ghost story novel written by Peter Cameron that came out in 2023. The story follows an American couple who goes to a snowy, cold European city to adopt a child. The film has a couple of A-listers attached already in Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence. Apple Films will oversee production. Actress Anne Hathaway had some choice words for the press, more specifically, the paparazzi. While filming The Devil Wears Prada 2 in New York City recently, the press got a little too aggressive for her liking. The Les Mis star told the Vultures to relax and back off because there were children on the set. Hathaway and Meryl Streep are both back for the sequel. The much-anticipated follow-up to The Devil Wears Prada hits theaters May 1st of 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, otherwise partly cloudy tonight, a low in the upper 50s with patchy fog. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow morning, some sun in the afternoon, a high in the upper 60s. Staying dry through the week as temperatures stay in the 70s. It's 69 degrees right now.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
ABC capitulating, pulling Jimmy Kimmel off the air. Mark Jacob.
Fascists look for pretexts. They want excuses to do terrible things. The right wing is looking for excuses to become even more authoritarian than it already is. The Turk thing is their pretext. 2 months ago, Trump was posting about getting rid of Jimmy Kimmel. It didn't have anything to do with Charlie Kirk. Not a thing. That's just a pretext.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Jimmy Kimmel's back on the air. We'll explain what it means for free speech here in Wisconsin. And Badger football head coach Luke Fickell under fire. We'll discuss your chance to win green and gold tickets in Green Bay continue.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
I'm Pete Schwab, and this is Nightlight, and we are enjoying this beautiful Monday evening here in our state's capital, coming to you live from Madison tonight. Great to have you with me. Conrad is back in Green Bay working the board and holding down the fort. What am I missing? Anything happening up there, Conrad?
Not really.
No?
Okay. Yeah, you're not missing much.
Whispering to everybody to keep it down while he talks to me on the stream. All right. This is exciting, folks. Listen, at the top of the second hour, act two, as I like to call it, I'm going to tell you all about Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, and I'm going to give you a keyword. It's our new contest here at Civic Media, and I'll just tease you with it involves Green Bay versus Minnesota. That's all I'll say for now. More details coming in hour number two, as well as Jim Healy at 720 talking movies. Right now, I'm very excited to have this next guest on. He's been on the show before. Terry Barr, our mutual friend, introduced us. And that's how I first learned of the Mascot Theory's music, and I just love it. And their front man, and you're just a friend of the show at this point, Eric, I think. Eric Jellin joins me here in the studio. But I have to say, before I dig into this conversation with Eric, it is time. Eric is our first guest, Conrad. Did you know that?
He is.
First guest of the week. So it's time to light it up right with the Nightlight First Guest of the Week, brought to you by Chicken or the Egg Photography. Chris specializes in food, event, music, and product photography for businesses across Wisconsin and the Midwest. See what he can do for you at chickenortheeggphotography.com. Do you think he can Photoshop out excess pounds, Conrad?
I think he could.
Conrad has no idea. He's just trying to make me feel good.
No, I think he could do it.
Of course he can, right? But that might cost extra. That's all I'm saying. So, check out chickenoftheeggphotography.com. Chris does great stuff. Eric Challen is here. It is great to have you here. You were here last November.
Yeah.
And that seems like forever ago, but also not really. I mean, I remember you talking about you brought in a great vinyl album of your last album, and now you've I'm going to show this on the screen. Conrad, check this out. Eric brought in
a
copy of their new album, The Cosmic Hit and Run, and it's great. We're going to play some music from the album tonight during the interview. Eric is here in the studio. Thank you again for another awesome piece.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah. My pleasure.
Is that how you like to listen to music?
I liked producing it that way. This album was very specific to the vinyl format with side A, side B. It was kind of the first time we had created an album, and we're like, okay, we have X amount of time on the one side and this technically 18 minutes on one side, 18 on the next before it starts to degrade a little bit. So we really put a lot into that, thinking of it that way. It's on CD as well, but really that was we have this much to get done and we know someone's going to flip that record at some point. So it was made for it for sure.
I never even would have thought of that. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So how was Max Inc. the other night? You were on with Terry and Rocker.
I was right here.
Right here.
We had the band here. We had our full drum kit out there. It was a blast. Yeah, we had it rocking in here.
Do you that often on the radio, perform live? I mean, you've
not with the full band.
Yeah.
It's an ordeal with the full band. We have to bring our mixer and kind of get a whole bunch. We had in-ear monitors on our own. And so I was over there. And then when it was time to do the interview, pop over here really quick and try not to get tangled in my cords. But it's always fun. It's a blast.
So, all right, before we jump into your new album, Cosmic Hit and Run, you would have been on this show again since last November if you didn't have some health issues.
Yeah.
So you've had a lot of trauma, drama, whatever you want to say, however you would categorize it, over the last year. Tell us what happened.
Well, really not too long after I was here, so it would have been around that mid-November, I was having these headaches, these really bad headaches and kind of facial pain and other neuro pain, vision loss, lots of stuff like that. That was super scary. And we thought, well, maybe it's just I'm a graphic designer and videographer. So I work on screens all the time. So we thought maybe it was just, OK, let's go to the eye doctor. Maybe maybe there's something with that. You're staring at screens. And so we went and I got some glasses. They did not help with the headaches or anything. They just got worse and worse through December. And we just decided at some point we should get an MRI done just to check. I was having these blurry visions and dizzy things. And they're like, let's just make sure there's no like pre-stroke or stroke stuff going on here. So right around that time in December, we started doing that. We did an MRI in January and then another follow-up one with contrast. And they found this arterio, what did I say?
You the called name. It, it's AVF, arterial venous fistula.
There it is. I always That's get that mixed up. It is, it is. So they found that it's right in the smack dab in the middle of my forehead and the brain right there. And so it's like this artery and this vein that are kind of connected. And that should never happen because there's pressurized blood and non-pressurized blood, and the pressurized goes to the non part, and it can blow up with an aneurysm, and that's it.
So, is that one of those things where they caught it just in time, or it was like a ticking clock, like something could have happened at any?
Exactly. They thought maybe, you know, 8 to 10 years it probably had been there or been developing throughout that time. So the headaches and stuff, we still don't know if that was all officially from that. You know, we got the MRIs, they discovered this thing. 4 months later, I had to wait, and then eventually got the procedure, and they went and put some cement in to kind of block it off after 4.5 hours of procedure. And we just went in a few weeks ago and double checked with another MRI. The fix worked. Everything's good. So that possibility of an aneurysm is not going to happen anymore. So that's fixed. Just still dealing with a lot of those same symptoms, the headaches and stuff. And we're just trying to figure that stuff out now. But yeah,
I remember when you posted this on social media, I don't think I knew that you were going into surgery. I think I just saw that you posted something after you had been out. There's probably been 10 social media posts since I've been on it that made me go, whoa, like you just didn't have any idea. So, yeah. I'm glad that worked out, but
yeah,
when you play, what does that do? Like you play music in bars sometimes or outdoors. Does that affect your headaches or anything?
Well, it certainly was at the end of the year. You know, Flannel Fest was probably what we were here promoting. And that was around that time. And it was like fine at that show. But really after that, it really, the headaches just started getting worse. So I didn't really play again. I think I did one show in December and was miserable. Didn't know why, just it was headaches, but it's not just like your typical headaches. It's like eye pain. It's just really bizarre facial pressure type stuff. And so I had a couple shows around that time that were not great. And it was like, oh, but typically in the wintertime, we don't play much. And actually our whole plan with the Mascot Theory was to record an album. So we weren't going to be playing. We were going to work on this album, which we did start doing. And then this all kind of got diagnosed, and we still were able to kind of work on the album. I kind of just worked on it when I could, kind of in my home studio with the guy, bring the guys over. I'd be working on my laptop and just kind of working on stuff when I wasn't my head buried under a pillow from all this pain and stuff. So
that's incredible that you went through that issue, had surgery, and in that time since you've been recovering, you still have, I mean, every sign of life is what we were discussing last November.
Yeah.
You already have a new album out despite what you went through. That's kind of a fast turnaround, isn't it?
Well, that Every Sign of Life actually came out, I think, in April last year. But that album actually had been recorded 2 years before.
Okay.
We went down to Texas. We recorded it. We kind of shopped it around, seeing if there's any record labels, what the industry was looking like at that time. And we decided to release it on our own. So it had been around for a while in our world, not out in the world to everybody else. So when we had that one done, we still had a ton of songs that were ready for a next album already. So it was just kind of waiting for the right moment. But then kind of at the end of last year, we were starting to think about, well, what do you want to do for this next album? We knew we were going to kind of do a hiatus anyway. And we thought, well, let's tackle something a little bit different. We'll set even those other songs aside for now. I had a song actually, Final Hour, that I think is on the list of potential for playing tonight. That was all dealing with my dad's passing back in 2020. And he had 2 years of being in the hospital of, he had a blood infection that led to from a kidney stone that led to, I think, his pancreas getting destroyed. And then it was just two years of misery for him. And then, you know, a pandemic and all of that. So trying to help him with the care and, but also limited to who could go in and when
into
the hospitals. It was a real tough time. And so I had all these lyrics that I'd kind of came up with, specifically Final Hour was kind of one of those main ones. And then eventually it was like, okay, let's try something different from a recording aspect. Let's just go ahead and do a concept album. You know, we were inspired by Pink Floyd and some of those older, the Who, you know, the bands that did those concept albums where it's all thematically and musically tied together.
Yeah.
So that was our plan for this, even before the headache stuff. That was what we were going to do. And we were able to kind of start doing that. And it just sort of worked because we were doing it in our own studios. We could kind of keep moving forward with it when I felt good. Well, it actually really helped me because I didn't have any, I couldn't do anything. They were like very specific. Don't do anything, you know, until this procedure happens. So nothing tragic happens.
That's incredible. Eric Jelen is my guest. He is the front man for The Mascot Theory, a great band. Check them out, Google them, Spotify, whatever. But right now we're going to play one of their new tracks. What should we lead with?
Got a Grip is the one that we've been playing most so far. So that one.
Con, let's fire up Got a Grip. This is The Mascot Theory and Eric Jelen.
You're barely hanging on me. The tank is empty. Face the heat and embrace it. Across the family dinner table, separate the truth from fable. My brain is drowning loud and free. Pass that salty ocean to me. Across the family dinner table, separate the truth from fable. It might take all night, but I'll get over this. I'm barely hanging on, though I've still got a grip. It might take all night, but I'll get over this.
Cross my heart and hope to fly into a sunset painted sky. Passing ships and star-crossed lovers, your eyes from under covers. Cross my heart and hope to fly into a sunset painted sky. Passing ships and star-crossed lovers, peek your eyes from under covers. I'm barely hanging on, though I've still got a grip. And it might take all night, but I'll this. I'm barely hanging on, though I've still got a grip. And it might take all night, but I'll get over this.
You're barely hanging on, embarrassed, you stare at the wall. You're tearing your hair out, I dare you to carry it all. The baggage you buried, it's there when you're raring to fall. Cause they don't care if you disparage to perish or stall. The tank is empty, start to rush to the end. And it's tempting to break all the rules when Lady Justice is bending. So save me from all the lies and the maybes. Cause maybe if we told the truth then all our lies would be gravy. I'm going crazy, but I'm sane enough to know that you made me. The game is changing and I'm praying I'll continue to play it. But lately I'm just losing faith and every day it keeps fading. The pain is raising past the blame. I'll let the rain hit the pavement. Another payment, you can't pay it. So you're trying to fake it. I bet you need a vacation. Cause you're running and racing. Now get a grip and be patient. Don't slip when you pace it. Take another deep breath. Face the heat and embrace it. Face the heat and embrace it.
What you doing Saturday night, September 27th? Nothing? Man, you need to black out that whole evening. While you're at it, text this to three of your friends. Here it is. Saturday, September 27th, free money. $40,000 cash. Let's meet up. That ought to get their attention. Over $40,000 cash is what Ho-Chunk Gaming Wittenberg is handing out on September 27th. Yeah, we call it the Autumn Advantage Giveaway. All in all, 13 winners will share over $40,000 cash, including 20 grand for the first place winner. Swing by Ho-Chunk Gaming Wittenberg. Earn just 30 points up to four times each day to collect $60 in rewards play and four entries into the big cash drawing. Plus, Fridays and Saturdays from noon to midnight, hourly winners of up to $200 in rewards play or a spin on the progressive cash wheel. Starts at $100 with another $100 added if unclaimed, all the way to $1,300 cash. So tell your friends to win free cash. Meet me at Ho-Chunk Gaming. See the rewards club for details. Must be 21 or over to play.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Earlier this summer, the Trump Justice Department requested states turn over massive amounts of voter registration, balloting, and election administration records. Two states which refused the request, Maine and Oregon, are now being sued by DOJ. The Brennan Center for Justice counts 34 states which received data requests from either the Civil Rights Division, formerly a watchdog for voting rights, or from DOJ's Criminal Division. New Hampshire cited state statutes prohibiting the release of such information, but Indiana confirmed it recently sent DOJ personal information, including driver's license and partial Social Security numbers. Maine received its first request in mid-July, which it declined August 8th, citing a lack of justification. DOJ's statement announcing the suit said, quote, "American citizens have a right to feel confident in the integrity of our electoral process, and the refusal of certain states to protect their citizens against vote dilution will result in legal consequences," unquote. Vote dilution refers to alleged widespread voting by non-citizens, an already debunked conspiracy theory from the 2020 and 2024 elections. The Trump administration confirmed last week it was sharing the voter data with the Department of Homeland Security. Secretaries of State Shanna Bellows in Maine and Tobias Reid of Oregon have vowed to fight the request in court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. You've got the Civic Media Radio Network, folks. We got a shout out for our guest, Eric Jelen from Terry Barr.
Hey, Terry.
Yay, Eric. Which is so cool because Terry introduced us to Eric, and Eric was on Max Inc. Radio with his band, Mascot Theory, Saturday night. So we just heard Got a Grip.
Yep.
You have a little rap in there, kind of. You're a little bending some genres here. I love when people do that.
Yeah, we just, we're doing this. We decided to do this album completely on our own with no constraints. We'll just do whatever we felt like fit the mood. And a friend of mine, Tyler Durden, the rapper on there, had actually heard a demo of that song probably a year before. And he had actually really loved the demo, and then he wrote a whole verse for it and then sent it to me, and I totally forgot about it. And a year later, we pop it down on the album, and I was sharing with him kind of where we were at with the song. He's like, "I wrote a verse for that." I'm like, "Oh no, I forgot about that." And I'm like, "Well, I don't know. We've got, like I said, we got these things timed down. So anything that goes in, something else is coming out. But, if you want to send it to me, we'll see." And we started working on it, and it's like, "Oh, this is amazing. This is going to fit perfectly with the theme of the album and everything, and dealing with grief and loss and then kind of the cosmic picture after what happens next." So it just fit perfect. So, yeah.
Talk about that a little bit. Yeah. You had this serious brain surgery, and your dad passed away. Without sounding crass or whatever, does that make it easier to write material when you're going through such crap in your life? Was it easier to write this as opposed to, like, Every Sign of Life?
I would say, well, we'll see what happens with the brain stuff. I haven't written anything after that. Okay. All of these songs were written through the lens of my father, which took me, years to finally Final Hour song was written years ago. So that one was kind of the first one. And then this year when we decided to do this kind of an album, I had some other ones that were dealing with the same kind of theme. So I think it was once we decided, okay, this is the theme of the album, I'm going to write it specifically about this topic, then actually it did just kind of flow out. A lot of the songs were written towards the end of the year last year, or kind of right before we were about ready to start recording. That's kind of how it goes. Sometimes we have some older songs, and sometimes we have just brand new stuff I bring to the band, and they're not really ready for it. And it's a blast. So we kind of just do it that way, and that's exactly how it happened for this one. And with the brain stuff, it'll be interesting. I think on one of my posts, I was like, I'm sure I'll deal with that at some point on the next album, you know?
Right. It's interesting. Eric Jelen is my guest from the Mascot Theory. We just heard his song "Got a Grip." The new album drops October 3rd.
Yeah.
Okay. So where can people find that? Spotify, the usual outlets,
all the streamers. We'll have it on our website, themascottheory.com. There'll be a link to our store, our Bandcamp store, so you can order it right from there. We'll send you a CD or vinyl versions and digital streaming, all that stuff.
And when can people see you? It's October 5th. You have a release party at the Atwood Music Hall here in Madison.
Correct.
And then you mentioned one in Appleton as well.
October 3rd, the actual release day. We're going to be at Gibson Music Hall in Appleton. So it's going to be a blast. And they're very different kind of shows that we would typically do. We're kind of a folk rock band. With this album, we really felt like we wanted it to be the focus of everything that we're performing. So it's actually a very intimate kind of sit down. We're going to do an interview. Terry Barr is actually going to be at the Madison one and going to do an interview on stage. We'll talk about the album and the process a little bit. And then we've got our friends Into the Music podcast up in Appleton. We'll do the same thing.
On your website, you have a passage that says where you describe this album: peering, jittery energy with a little self-interrogation. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I think it's especially with this theme. I mean, when you're trying to tie in all the songs, or all the songs are all in the same ideas, you really have to look into, okay, what was I feeling during all of this, when my dad was passing away? How was that really affecting me at the time? How do I reflect on that now?
Yeah.
And so you really got to dig deep on that. What is that? And then kind of the side B of the album is really more of the, okay, after death, what happens now? How do we grieve from that lens now, when it's the healing part, right? So it's like, what does that look from a cosmic standpoint? Where do we go after we pass away? All those kind of big ideas is kind of the second half of the album, and that's kind of what we were shooting for on this one.
So why don't we do this, just to get as much bang for our buck as possible? Why don't we play a song into the break at the top of the hour, then we'll get the third song played in the first segment after the news. So what should we go to during the break?
Let's do Constellation Prize.
All right, Con, get that ready. Eric Jelen is here. He is my guest in studio, coming to you live from Madison tonight. When we come back, folks, Eric's song will take us to intermission. We'll be back for Act Two, and I'm going to tell you all about Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, and I'm going to give you the keyword. Great stuff. You can win cash and jewelry and two amazing tickets to Green Bay and Minnesota. I guess I just kind of told them about it, but I'll elaborate a little
bit
after.
I bet they could guess.
Here's Eric Jelen and Mascot Theory. We're coming back for Act Two after this.
Now that I can finally breathe in, open up my eyes to see again. It's clear, so clear. All covered up in my feelings, but I was not alone in grieving. It's clear, so clear. Aren't we the lucky ones? Hang on until we've won the Constellation Prize. Stars up in the
listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammy McCormick. President Trump says there is a link between taking Tylenol and rising autism rates.
The meteoric rise in autism is among the most alarming public health developments in history. There's never been anything like this.
Reporter Stacey Lynn is at the White House with more.
Without providing any evidence that links acetaminophen to the disorder, he says pregnant women shouldn't take it.
Taking Tylenol is not good.
Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
The FDA will issue a physician's notice about the risk of acetaminophen during pregnancy and begin the process to initiate a safety label change.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News, the White House.
There has been an abrupt change of heart by Disney and ABC over the Jimmy Kimmel Show. Here's reporter Craig Figner.
After days of blistering criticism, the Walt Disney Company says